for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah, this is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
Yes, yes, back at it. Back at it, black at it, Black History Year, August, damn near pulling up on Labor Day. Mm-hmm. Still out here, still in your ear canal. What's good with you, man?
Oh, man, it's all good, man. Trying to wrap this summer up real nice and get back to it real heavy in the fall. You know, the fall is a big, big situation for me because, you know, it's always my real new year. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've been on a school calendar my whole life. Right. So fall is always back to school, back to work, my birthday. Shit, it's a lot going on.
Yeah, I hear that. Yeah. I'm ready for this fall. I'm ready for shit to just cool down a little bit. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm tired of all this heat.
I'm trying to tell you.
I'm gonna pack that shit up. It's over. Yeah, fall's a good time. Fall's a good time. It's a new day. You know what I mean? And I feel you on that. Returning back. Yeah, it is. It's like starting a new year. So yeah, I can't wait. Can't wait to fall. Get crisp outside.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Anyway, how's Atlanta still?
Well, Atlanta is hot. You know what I mean? It's steamy, oven hot, and it's raining now because of the hurricane stuff. And but other than that, the A is doing the A. For some reason, I'm not sure why last weekend was as busy as it was as far as, like, party time. Mm. Like, you know, it was just, like, a lot going on as far as physical activity. I didn't know of any specific events. I just know around the way it got a little more crunk than usual. A lot earlier than usual. You know what I'm saying? Usually if you get caught outside by 1, 2 in the morning, it's tough to get in the building because of the traffic and shit like that. But this time it was crunk 9, 10 o'clock. You know what I'm saying? So I guess everybody trying to get this summer wrapped up with a bang.
Yeah. I guess they starting early for Labor Day. Mm-hmm. Wonder if it was some type of one of them little bowl games or something like that. Man.
Not sure. It was a lot of activity. I'm not sure if, you know, people getting an early start on Labor Day. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I'm not sure if the Black Pride Week has anything to do with it. I'm not sure if they starting early, you know. I'm not sure. It was just a lot going on.
Black Pride Week, that's something I never heard of that. That's something down there.
That's Labor Day Atlanta Pride.
I didn't even catch it at first. I get it. Like LGBTQ. Yeah, yeah. Okay. I thought it was Black Pride. I was like, nigga, I never heard of Black Pride. But okay. But I thought Pride was in June. So Atlanta got their own. They got Black Pride.
Yeah. Okay. I think Labor Day is like a black situation for Pride.
Got it. Okay. That
could be it. Only reason I know is because, like, probably like 2001. We was down here, you know what I'm saying? And in the summer, we went to the movies at Lenox. And it was like LGBTQ all the way out, like as far as the people who was in there. And I was like, damn, what is going on? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, who sent out the memo for all of them to come at one time on one weekend? And then somebody was saying, nah, it's Pride Week for the blacks.
Was it a particular movie out, or was it just the movie theater was popping?
No, the whole mall.
The mall. Oh, Lenox.
The whole mall was popping. We was going to the movies. Nobody was going to the movies, but the mall was popping.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It was packed. You know what I mean? I was like, wait. But it felt like Chelsea or the Meatpacking District in Lenox. You know what I'm saying?
Got you. Yeah. That's what's up.
Yeah. So I'm not sure if that starts, you know, the weekend before or however that goes. Okay. But, you know, it's been kind of cracking out here.
Okay, well, there you go. Shout out to Black Pride. Got the Labor Day coming up. I'm curious how it's going to be. I know there's no Labor Day parade going on this year in New York, you know, still with the COVID situation.
Oh, no? So,
nah, I'm pretty sure. I think that canceled. I'm almost positive.
The West Indian Day parade?
West Indian Day parade, I believe, is canceled.
Oh, wow. I thought I saw the Puerto Ricans do their thing, but I'm not sure if it was a parade. It was just out with their flags.
Yeah, and they might have been right at that little sweet spot. You know, when New York opened the window for like 2 weeks, it was like, yo, go ahead, we back. And then they closed that shit right back. I don't know. So maybe they got the nice little sweet spot. Let me see. I'm almost positive. I could have swore I see that shit. But anyway. Speaking of the movies, Candyman came out. Did you see it?
Not on the kids wanted to see it. I haven't seen it yet. You know, I wasn't up on it because I don't really typically follow the horror flicks. Mm-hmm. I wasn't really up on it until it became number one over the weekend. Like, oh shit, it came out. I didn't know it was out.
Yeah. It came out last weekend. Yeah, it is canceled. West Indian Parade and Juve's canceled. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kind of want to check it out. I've been seeing it's getting mixed reviews. I haven't read any reviews. I've been seeing a couple little stray reviews come through on Twitter, but I haven't read any like little pieces on it just yet. But I see Nia DaCosta, the director, she came in number one at the box office, first black woman to come in number one at the box office. So that's big.
Right.
You know. Yeah, I'm going to check it out because I actually saw Candyman for the first time. I never seen Candyman all those years. You know, I knew the reference, Candyman, you know, all of that. Mm-hmm. But I seen it for the first time over the pandemic. And it was better than I expected. I think we might have talked about it on the podcast. It was better than I expected, to be totally honest with you.
So, Bert.
I'm going to check it out. Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
Get to it. Yeah. I think I'll probably see it this week with the kids. Yeah.
You seen the first one?
No.
Oh, okay. All right.
What, do I have to see the first one to watch this?
I haven't seen the second one, so I can't tell you. I don't believe so. I think it's a reprise or whatever. Okay. You know what I mean?
I thought this was just the black version of it, was what I'm saying.
Yeah, the first one was the black version.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, it was black. That shit was in same characters? Green.
I mean the same actors?
Nah. Okay. She's about 30 years old. Yeah, nah, it's a whole bunch.
You
a
know,
whole
I don't know
black,
what the fuck going on.
Yeah, but you know. Yeah. I don't know if it was a black director or black producer like this time, but it was some black actors. You know what I mean? And the Candyman was black back then, too.
There was a black producer on this one, too?
Yeah, Jordan Peele.
Oh, Jordan Peele produced. Okay, yeah. So he's like running the horror genre.
He's running this
right
horror
now.
Shit. Yeah, he want to get a horror. You know, you got to holler at that man. You know
yeah.
That's his block.
Word. No, he did that. Mm-hmm. did that for sure.
Yeah, man. Donda dropped. I don't know if you listened
to that. Yeah. Donda dropped. You know, I wasn't rushing to listen to it, so I'm still getting around to it, you know. I'm, you know, I've said it on here. I'm not the biggest Kanye fan. You know what I'm saying? Right. I ain't taking nothing from his artistry and his plays or whatever. But, you know, sometimes he play too much. And, you know, I don't really. And really, the real reason I don't rock with Ye, not because of none of his antics and because he fucked with Trump and all that shit. Because I wasn't fucking with him before he did that. I just... A lot of times when I listen, I don't listen to him the same reason I don't listen to Eminem. Because when I listen to the lyrics sometimes, it don't gel right with me. You know what I'm saying? Well, it's like, damn, that's, you know, his point of view is a little sometimes. Like sometimes he's spot on, you know what I'm saying? Like Ultralight Beam and, you know what I'm saying? He got a lot of joints that I fuck with. But then he got a lot of, on the flip side of it, he say a lot of things that made me feel like, damn, dog, what kind of nigga is you? You know? So That's why I don't buy in. I don't buy into the whole thing, you know, man. Mm-hmm. I don't take nothing away from it. It's just not me.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I listened to the album. It's a little underwhelming, a little bloated. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Super long, about damn near 2 hours. So it felt like even through all of this, you know, listening party after listening party after listening party, he didn't do too much editing. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't get no real feedback. I mean, he could have cut a few things down. He got part twos of songs, you know what I mean? Which is not even like a part two in like the remix sense or take it to a next level. It's just like, all right, on this version, we got this rapper. You know what I'm saying? Right. It's the same shit, but we got a different rapper. It's like, well, it's kind of weird. Yeah.
You know, it's part of the stream game, you know what I'm saying? And that the more songs you got out there, the more streaming is going to happen on that particular project. Mm-hmm. You know, we saw it with Drake. People said it's about Scorpion, you know what I mean? Where he had the double album and it's like, yeah, it's kind of bloated, you know, it's too many tracks. But, you know, when all of those different tracks are getting spins, it adds to the collection of the numbers that of the algorithm and all that good stuff that makes the new modern sale, you know what I'm saying? As opposed to the physical, I'm going to give you $10 for this album. So.
I agree. I think that's probably has a lot to do with it. You know what I mean? The more shit you got to throw at them, the more time they're going to be listening to your record. But it just, for whatever reason, it just feel like it's a little all over the place. You know what I'm saying? It could have been cut down. If it was cut down quite a bit, it could have kind of had a little sharper point of view. You know what I'm saying? It just feel like it's a little all over the place. There's moments when it's all right, but I can't even think of anything that I'm like, yo, this shit is fire. Like, I've only listened to it once, and I've popped back in a couple times just listening to selected songs, but I've only went through the whole thing once. It wasn't terrible, but it wasn't amazing. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like, oh, yo, run this one back or run that one back or he killed that. He's spitting on this one. I can't even. Kanye used to be, for what it's worth, he used to have some quotables for you. Right. You know what I'm saying? And it's not too many quotables so far that I could find on there. You know what I mean? He got one slick line that's kind of funny where, you know, because a lot of this is gospel-based, you know what I'm saying? Or at least religion-based or spirituality-based.
This album?
Yeah. He get, you
with
know,
all them shooters and... Yeah, bangers and drill people and the baby and all these things. All what?
All of them. They praise the Lord in the middle of reloading the clip. You know what I mean?
I could dig it.
Yeah, you know, it shows the spectrum of spirituality. You know what I'm saying? We all go to church at some point. You know what I'm saying? And some cats is praying for different things, right. But. There's a part where, like, just like a silly little joke kind of shit, he talking about, you know, all of the, like biblical things. Mm-hmm. And he say, he got, like, a little thing where the flow is like, din, 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 din. Like, that's the last couple rhymes, like, are kind of like a vamp kind of, like, the same shit, like, give, 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 some shit like that. So he say, you know, they say Adam... Mike say Adam couldn't have been black because he'd have never gave Eve a red. You know, like some silly dumb Kanye shit. That was probably the only thing I really laughed at. I was like, all right. And I seen it coming, but I was just like, you know, it reminded me of the old Kanye humor. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I think, I don't know what's going on now. I think he's a little too self-serious. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not that much. Not that much humor on this one, at least that I haven't found. But so that came out. Drake coming out, good for the Labor Day. You know what I'm saying? And I've been seeing people, you know, I don't know if you saw his alleged album cover.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, with all of the pregnant women.
Yeah.
And which is funny because Damien Hirst did that, and it's a play off of one of his polka dot joints. But, you know, let the Twitter tell it. The knowledge behind that is the album is coming 9 months after it was supposed to come out. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Which is like Labor. And then it's coming out on Labor Day weekend. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, a little something for your head top. You know what I'm saying?
No doubt. You know, yeah. Drake good at playing with the internet and, you know, that whole, he speaks that language, so.
Yeah, well, he got some spicy t-shirts coming out with some real surly, saucy captions that are a whole lot on them. You know what I mean? That's a lot. But that should have probably hit, too. I'm curious to hear that, man. I'm curious to hear that. It's been a minute outside of that last, you know, little quick, was it Dark Lane demos or whatever, but it's been a minute since Drake put out an album.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm curious to see where he gonna go. You know what I mean? Especially in contrast to what Kanye did. I'm curious to see where he gonna go. And they look like the track list just came out. I'm looking at this track list. It looked like these songs are a lot longer than your average songs. Like your average song on this album, if this track list is right, is about 4 minutes long, which is damn near two songs in today's age.
Right. Maybe you're trying to take it back to the Parliament era.
You know what I mean? We're going to see. To the Parliament era.
The songs were 15 minutes long on their ass. 15 bridges.
2 minute bridge. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? 10 different bridges. You know what I'm saying? Breakdowns. By the time you get to the end of the song, it's a whole nother song.
The whole shit. You could pump your gas during the bridge. You know what I'm saying?
Get back in and still make the good part.
That shit's still riding before the beat drop. You done put 15 gallons of gas in your whip. So they got that. And then I'm sure, I would imagine you heard that Kendrick verse.
Yeah, I did. I heard it.
So it felt good to hear Kendrick back in the world. What you think?
Yeah, definitely felt good to hear him back in the world. You know what I'm saying? Like, I saw it on an Instagram post, and in my headphones, it was like, oh, shit, I need to put this on the speaker. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But then when I put it out loud and on the speaker, something was disconnected between his flow and the beat. But it didn't matter because I already had my first impression that the flow was crazy. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And then I left it at that. I'm going to wait on the album.
Yeah. I hear you.
But I did get a chance to listen to some of that other kid off of TDE. What's the name?
Ray Vaughn?
Nah, Ishmael Rashad. Or
oh, Isaiah Rashad.
Yeah. I checked him out. He was cool. My son was listening to him. I was like, okay, this is cool. You know, some of that shit has some old, you know, Organized Noise, Goody Mob vibe to it. But I was like, okay, I fucks with this. You know what I'm saying? Because when it first was leaked that it was coming, mm-hmm. and everybody thought it was Kendrick, including myself, thinking that it was a Kendrick drop. Yeah. And I was like, who is this?
Right.
I don't know nothing about him, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm out the loop. But I listen to him, I fucks with it. You know what I'm saying? It's cool. It's cool little listening music, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Ain't nothing that, you know, I ain't getting no goosebumps or no shit like that. But I felt like it was a solid, you know what I mean? It's a solid listen.
Yeah. It's a cool ride out record. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. This one's more of a like a vibe record. I gotta give it another listen. But he's had other records that come out. Like this is probably his third album or something like that. He spit a little bit more on his previous albums, but this is cool. I thought you were talking about because they just signed another kid named Ray Vaughn, and he put out an EP. I haven't gotten to it yet, but he was on L.A. Leakers. He did a freestyle on L.A. Leakers. And he was getting busy. Like, they got a nice little standard over there. They got a hell of a, you know, they got a standard over there at TDE. You know what I'm saying? Like, and he fit the bill. He got his own style about him. You know what I'm saying? They get some animated cats. You know, not to say that, because Isaiah's a little bit more, like, laid back. But between Kendrick and Schoolboy, you know what I mean? Now, this kid Ray Vaughn, like, It was good. I actually got to listen to that EPC. Was what? I was thinking, speaking of rosters, I was just saying this in a group chat, just on the random. But quiet as cat, maybe not even quietly, Yo Gotti got a solid roster signed to his So Yo Gotti got Black Youngster, he got Moneybagg Yo, he got 42 Doug, he got ESTG, and he might have somebody else, but like that's four motherfuckers that's like popping, like at least three of them out like are popping right now. Black Youngster, you know what I'm saying? He might have to put some new shit out, but like they're all three very defined, you know what I'm saying, talents that got some momentum out there. And, you know, fucking Yo Gotti signed them all quiet. Like, Yo Gotti always kind of move real quiet with his shit. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, man. Memphis is having their time right now, which, you know what I'm saying, is probably 20 years overdue.
Right. You
know, 20-something years overdue that people started to pay attention to what Memphis is doing, because they have a real soulful vibe, and then, you know, coming under the foundation that like A-Ball MJG and of course 3-6 Project Pat, you know, Juicy J, Gangsta Boo, you know what I'm saying, like all of those rappers had a distinctive flow, and like A-Ball MJG probably revolutionized the cadence of hip hop during the time that they came out, that is still being used and kind of replicated across different regions right now. So like when A-Ball MJG came and they changed up the cadence and slowed the beat all the way down, it's what is happening right now. That's why ASAP Rocky and all them, well, they came in on that same flow. You know, of course they added a little UGK, but I would say UGK was even influenced by the 8-Ball MJG cadences. You know what I'm saying? Because they were the first ones to come out here and slow it all the way down and do them type of cadences. Then Project Pat took it to a next level. And, you know, if all flipped back around, I don't know what year that was. What year was that when Wiz Khalifa was, like, underground famous and you know, he started bringing Juicy J back?
Like 07, 08, something like that.
So, once Wiz started bringing Juicy J back, all of the youngsters started to jump back on that style, which is, you know, for me, it was just due time, you know what I mean? Because I think the Memphis, that whole Memphis flow influenced a whole generation of Atlanta music, like with Lil Jon and all that, with the Crunk, because you know, when he came with Tear the Club Up and all that, that was based off of what 3-6 them was doing for real. They was tearing the club up first. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, I felt like, you know, nobody said, oh, nah, that came from Memphis, except for me. But you couldn't really say it out loud because, you know, it was Atlanta's thing and it was popping. So I enjoyed watching Memphis flourish. You know what I'm saying? Of course, I always say on here my go-to is
Paper Route?
Yeah, Paper Route Empire. You know what I'm saying? Young Key Glock.
Yeah.
Young Dolph. You know what I'm saying? They got a couple other guys on there, but those, you know, I'm primarily listening to those two. I fuck with Gotti. You know what I'm saying? So, like I said, I just think it's good that they getting their time.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's cool that they getting their time, you know, and then, I mean, you know, not as of late, but over the years, you know, it was kind of divided a little bit between Yo Gotti and then, you know, Young Dolph. They don't really fuck with each other like that, so there's that type of thing.
Right.
But, you know, like, yeah, with Take Heath is from out there, you know what I'm saying?
He was cracking. You know what I'm saying? He was tearing shit up.
Yeah, they got a nice little run, nice momentum. And then I got to really get into it, but Detroit is having a movement, too. You know what I'm saying? Like a lot of.
Who's out
the movie? I want to say the kid 42 Doug is out of Detroit, but who's out of Detroit right now that people are fucking with? Man, it'll come to me, man. I gotta see, but I haven't even gotten all the way into, you know what I mean? Like what's going on? I mean, this kid Icewear Vezo, 42 Doug is definitely from out there. Obviously, T Grizzly, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Obviously, Big Sean. There's that kid. Cash Doll. You know what I'm saying? But there's like a whole, like movement right now, like where similar to like Memphis, where like their sound is like a certain sound, and I don't listen to enough of these artists to kind of expound on it. You know what I'm saying? Like what makes the Detroit sound what it is. But there's like a lot of people that are like cracking out of there. Boldy James, even though Boldy James works a lot with Alchemist and shit like that. Like there's a lot of motherfuckers coming up out of there. Speaking of having like a season, you know what I'm saying?
So, mm-hmm.
It's interesting. You know what I'm saying? It's interesting when you take the time to pay attention, because you know me, I don't listen to music as often as I used to. I've been kind of getting back to it recently, but I was heavy podcast for the last couple of years, but now I'm kind of, you know what I mean, kind of getting involved with, you know, some of this new shit, trying to see what's cracking, you know what I mean? See if I could appreciate any of this shit. And there's a lot of new shit out there that I fuck with.
Yeah, man. That's what really the beauty of hip-hop is, that it's the discovery part of it. You know what I'm saying? It's not only just discovering new music and new sounds, but learning and hearing from different people from different regions and how they get down and discovering, you know, what goes on in other places, how people talk in other places. And as much as the internet has brought everything to like one beige area, there's still unique things coming out of the different regions.
Right. Right.
You know, so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's some new shit. Is this little crew, these two cats, Blue Bucks Clan out of, out of L.A. Yeah, that's a wild name, right? They got a wild name. They funny, though. They like some funny niggas. You know what I'm saying? Right. I like their shit. Yeah. They got some shit out. You know, that's how, you know, that's hip-hop for you. You know what I'm saying? It always sound wild or sound bugged out first time you say the names. Right, Snoop Doggy Dogg, Waka Flocka Flame, Bottom Got 'Em, who I hear might be facing murder. So hopefully.
Murder?
Yeah.
I thought he just went to jail for a gun.
Yeah, I don't know, but I saw something kind of fly across the timeline about that. I didn't go too deep into it.
He ain't last long.
Yeah, well, you know, we'll see what happens. But, yeah, man, spot him, got him. Somebody spotted him, and they got him, I guess. hopefully he got himself a good lawyer.
You know, anyway. You can't gauge it. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes they just do it for the name and the attention. You know what I'm saying?
Shit.
Hey, man, shit. Yeah. You know, if you dig deep enough, that's what you're going to find out. A lot of this shit is for a name and some attention, man. Both in entertainment and in the streets. So.
Right. You know? Yeah, that's a hell of a rollout. That's a hell of a strategy. I don't know who pitched that.
You know what
that.
I'm saying? So
this is what we're thinking. The indictment. So first quarter, we're gonna get you indicted. Then going into the second quarter, you know, we're gonna have some jailhouse testimony. Yeah, that shit's wild. I don't even.
Right. You know what I'm saying? You go in the hole and tank. You know what I'm saying? See how much ass you could whoop or not. And get your name ringing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. Anyway, man, that shit crazy. Yeah. that's my transition sigh.
Yeah. What are we going to talk about next?
On the docket. Yo, what you think? You know, I was listening to Yara Shahidi on the Jemele Hill's podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about, you know, her time at Harvard. You know, she went to Harvard. Mm-hmm. And obviously she's not old, older. You know what I mean? She was employed, had a career when she went to Harvard. So she kind of got to go to school in a way that she could focus on school. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like wedded to an opportunity per se, right?
Right.
But even more particularly, J.R. Smith just went back to school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's been making a lot of news, you know, over the years. I mean, Nick Cannon went to Howard just recently. I remember a few years back, Lil Wayne went to school. And I remember, you know, just being in college as a youth, you know what I'm saying? Like having classes where there might be some older students, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to my man Brian from Baltimore. Was it my man Brian from Baltimore? Might not have been my man Brian. Him too, but there was another cat I was kicking it with. And it's funny because, like, sometimes, like, you could just assume since they in your class that they in your age group, right? So I remember one time, I forget what my man's name was, but we wound up hitting the strip club. We went to Nikki's, like, during the day, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Between classes and shit like that. And we got up in the spot. This was early on. I had like a fucking fake ID type shit. So I was excited. You know what I mean? Used my fake ID to get in. I got in. And he ain't really had no problem at the door. So we in there chopping it up. And somehow it came out that he was about 26 or something like that, which wasn't even crazy old, but it was just older than I was. I was probably 18, 19 at the time. I'm like, damn, nigga, you 26? He's like, yeah, man, I was in the military, you know what I mean? Did all of this shit. This nigga had a life.
Right.
You know, but I say all that to say, as I was listening to particularly the Yara conversation, she was talking about, she had some class called The Study of Racism and Capitalism, or the, you know what I mean? And that shit just sound very interesting. You know what I mean? And I was like, but I'm grown, but it was like, I started to think, I think if I had the opportunity, like if I went to college, and maybe not full on a full course load, but if I took some classes at this point in my life, I think I would have a greater appreciation for the knowledge than I did when I was younger. Not that I didn't appreciate it. It was cool, but it was looked at as school. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't looked at as game. It wasn't looked at as knowledge. It wasn't looked at as something that I could apply given some experience from living life. You know what I'm saying? And it just made me kind of float the thought. What do you think about college in your later years? You know what I'm saying? And you know, where do you stand on it? I know you actually kind of stepped away for a little bit and then came back at some point. Yeah. But I mean, like, late. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
well,
after you done had a real deal using using America for a bit. Not just, you know what I mean? Not to dismiss, like, but you was out there for, like, 10 years or so. Like, a long time.
Well, you know, I can't speak for that what I don't know. But, you know what I'm saying? Just from the experience that I do know from stepping away for a few years and then coming back, but after, you know what I'm saying, living some real life and coming back, it definitely was not the same experience. I definitely was not connected to the social experience as much as I was when I was there at first, you know what I'm saying? So it was more about getting this shit done. Like, you had a different appreciation for completing some shit. Like, yo, I ain't got time, let me get this shit done and I'm out of here. And and you know, my best semesters were those when I came back as a person who had some experience, who knew the value of what was going on at college now, because once you step away and you're in that world, the world is you know, unmerciful. You know what I'm saying? College is a safe haven for a black person. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Especially at a black college. You know what I'm saying? You in a safe haven. It's like, ain't nobody, the world ain't looking at you as some type of enemy. You know what I mean? You just there relaxing, and then you usually, you know, spend those 4 years doing just that and then get slapped in the face in the world. But once you know what the world is and you go back, you're like, you know what? Let me take advantage of all of these opportunities. Let me take the game that these teachers are giving me that I know apply to certain things. And then the things that I feel like don't apply at all, you know, when you're young, you're like, oh, man, what that's going to do for me in life, man? Fuck that. And then you resist it, right? But once you know life, you're like, I don't have to take on all the information. I take the stuff that I know I need. And then the rest of it, I just know I need to get through this. You know what I'm saying? I know I need to finish this shit so I can go on to the next level. So if I had to do that now as an adult at this age, you know what I'm saying? It would definitely, you would probably be bringing just as much to the table as you are taking away from it. You know what I mean? Because you'll be around people who haven't had your experience. You'll be able to, you know, talk to your classmates in a way that can help them understand certain things. Somebody looking at J.R. Smith, I follow his journey on his Twitter, and mm-hmm. this shit is funny as shit. And I could just imagine just a regular kid looking at this multimillionaire championship ring having, you know what I'm saying, coming to college like it's nothing, you know what I'm saying, which all of them have the opportunity to do. A lot of people say they would. Everybody always say, well, shit, you can get a college degree anytime, but a lot of people don't actually execute that shit. So for him to execute that at a black school, nonetheless, is probably interesting on a day-to-day for everybody that's around him. You know what I'm saying? It's like, damn, that go JR right there. You know what I mean? It's people that's getting cool with him. It's, you know what I'm saying? He has to play it in a way where he's actually getting something, but I'm sure he's bringing a lot to the table just being there. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Him joining the golf team. I see somebody asked him, was he going to join the intramural basketball team? He was like, oh, no doubt. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
fuck, get another ring.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that is crazy.
That's hilarious. That shit seemed like that shit ain't even fair. Like, there'd be some type of disqualification. But, yeah, that's hilarious.
But I can only imagine that it's probably a relief for him. Mm-hmm. From, like, you know, you in the world, you got money, you could do whatever you want, whenever right. you want, however you want. Just bringing a little structure to your situation and putting yourself in an environment where it's not just all about you and not an environment that you created, but one that you're walking into to learn. I'm sure he's getting a kick out of this, and I'm sure that it's a much needed reprieve from the fast life. Going. You know what I'm saying? Basketball season, 82 games. You on the road from goddamn October to June. You know what I mean? I'm sure this is like a much needed reprieve. Like, you know what I'm saying? This is refreshing. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. What can I get into today that's just regular? I don't have to spend a bunch of money to do it. I don't have to worry. You know what I mean? It's a lot you don't have to worry about in that space. Mm-hmm. It's a movie. You know what I'm saying? In real life.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, for everybody.
Right.
And definitely. It's fucking back to school, Rodney Dangerfield.
you know what I'm saying? You know.
But on the other side of it, what is also cool too is like it's just you getting more context, or you getting one, you could appreciate the context, because now you know, when I read books, there's a lot of books that I'll start, you know what I'm saying, that I might not get to, I might not finish, you know what I'm saying, but I'll start them with great intent, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, oh, yeah, this is powerful. You know, you'd be four pages in, like, oh, this, I needed this. Mm-hmm. And then you put that shit to the side, put it under the last book you read on top of that. But, you know, that's one of the benefits of, back in college, you know, like the book and the discussion, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just started to remember that. Like, I remember, I forget what the class was, but my professor was Dr. Carlton Usher at Clark Atlanta University. Mm-hmm. He was a younger cat too, from Brooklyn. And his whole shit was like, leave 5 pages at the end of your book, your notebook, empty, because I'm always going to give you a suggestion of a book you should read. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? As I break down, blah, blah, blah. And if you like what I'm talking about, check out The Pedagogy of the Oppressed, because then that'll carry on what we just talked about. And then, oh, check this out. And then you got all of this shit. You know what I'm saying? Some of them books you get to, some of them you don't get to, but it's a different experience. And even in the moment, I appreciated it, but I'm sure I would appreciate it more like just the dialogue. You know what I mean? I even found myself was while I was watching Power Book 2. You know, the moments in when Tariq be in class and shit, discussions and shit. Like, oh shit, I missed this. I missed the little. You know what I mean?
Did you participate in those discussions like that?
A little bit. If I had some shit to say, if I had, you know, yeah. And particularly in those classes, like certain classes, like I was always like, if I responded, like if a professor, I've always been like that probably since even high school. Mm-hmm. Like if I vibe with the teacher, then I'm probably more inclined to participate. Like it's almost like the pastor, you know what I'm saying? Like there's certain preachers that you resonate with. You know what I'm saying? They just know how to break it down. Other people just kind of sound like they teaching or they droning on. You know what I mean? And then obviously the subject matter, if it's something that you're interested in, I'll be more engaged to jump in. But a little bit, depending on the class, yeah, a little bit, I would jump out there. You know what I'm saying? Like, especially shit that was like more about introspection. It wasn't more about like, I'm always been more like on the, I guess the language philosophy side, as opposed to like math and statistics and things like that. That kind of, I was a little gun shy when it came to that. Solve the problem. I'm like,
right. I mean, it's funny because when you see college on TV and shit, and you have these banterful discussions and da da da. It ain't really. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of that in my college experience. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. It was a whole lot of taking some notes. You know what I'm saying? Taking some tests. It wasn't a whole lot of classes I was in that was like, you know, what's your thoughts on that per se?
Right.
Unless it was English. The only time I got caught up in a banter was in English 101. And the teacher was like, you know, she said something like from the Bible. And then she called on me, Ali Muhammad. And then I was like, I'm sorry, man, I never read the Bible. And she's like, what? You never read the Bible? She wanted to throw me out of the class. She was like, Nick, if you don't get your devilish ass out my... She was too through with me, dog. She was finished with me. I had to take an incomplete in that class because she just would not fuck with my point of view, period. So, you know, when you grade and test on in English and shit, a lot of that shit is subjective. You know
right,
what I'm saying?
Right, yeah.
And she did not fuck with my point of view at all, my nigga. I've never made no bunch of D's and shit like that, but she was trying to come for me. I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to have to opt for a whole nother teacher on this course
because
I can't win with this lady. That lady was like, you ain't never read the Bible. Oh! Yeah. I was like, crazy. Wow. So that was the only real time I got caught up in this banter like that. Maybe in humanities you got shit like that. But I just never remember college being a whole lot of ha 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 and we gonna have this conversation. It was a whole lot of listen to me and I'm about to tell you some shit.
it wasn't as expansive as what you see like on Power where there's a full, you know, everybody got a time for their take. That was rare every so often. That was only a few joints. But when they happen, you remember them. You know what I'm saying? Remember them shits like, you'll remember them joints like it'll be a little bit more. Because you felt at that point, you really felt like you were putting the knowledge to the test. Outside of testing, testing is one thing. But like when you could kind of speak to what you learned or argue a point or whatever. It wasn't often, but when you could get to do that, it felt like, okay, this is that college shit. Because everything else felt like glorified high school. You know what I'm saying? And maybe that's just because of what I was presented in media and television and film and all of that you're thinking about.
Right.
You know, I think if you watch enough, especially back in like the 80s and 90s, if you watched enough, TV and movies, you kind of had an idea of what to expect out of college. You know what I'm saying? As warped as it was, you had some idea like, okay, this is what college is about. You know what I mean? Even like if you watch something like A Different World, you felt like people be like, and what do you think? And it'd be like, well, you know what I mean? They get that couple minutes to get their shit off. Yeah, that's those moments. You're like, okay, this shit, you feel like an intellect. Anyway. You know what I mean? That's what you want to feel like. Oh, Joe College ass.
Right. Yeah, I mean, shit. So, you know, JR going to have a good time. They going to have a good time with it. You know what I'm saying? It's going to bring a lot of press. NC, North Carolina A&T is on a run right now. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, is that where he's at?
Yeah, A&T.
Okay, dope.
Yeah, Aggie. Dope. Aggie Pride. Aggies. Yeah. They got a lot going on. They got some Olympic gold medalists. You know what I'm saying? They cracking, you know, academically and socially. So, shout out to the Aggies, you know, all our listeners from North Carolina A&T.
Yeah, they got a lot of pride.
Yeah,
Black pride. Yeah, I know a few people that went to A&T.
Because they, you know what I'm saying? They was kind of quiet, you know, and then they just came roaring with the, you know what I'm saying, with the accolades and, you know, just making their presence being known out here, you know, that it ain't just, you know, two or three other schools around here. You know what I'm saying? They out there. I think they leading the way right now as far as you know,
notoriety,
momentum. You know what I'm saying? Like how we're gonna always have Howard. They were like the first. You know what I'm saying? They the first in a lot of ways. They have an established brand.
Right.
But you know I'm gonna catch a lot of flack for saying it, but I'm going to say it any old way because I'm from fan.
Say that shit.
But Howard like, rests a lot on their history and their, you know what I'm saying, their stuff. So not that they not doing nothing new because they are. They're everywhere. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. But it's like that new momentum because they're a lot locked into what it is and what it is as an establishment. It feels like the establishment. As opposed to something new and fresh and groundbreaking, you know what I'm saying? Which, you know, any good institution needs to keep refreshing their momentum to make sure that the next generation is just as excited and not just coming in like, oh, I'm in Howard, you know. We the real
Howard niggas gonna be tight.
Yeah, they're going to be tight. I know they're going to be tight. But you know, how HBCU is. You know what I'm saying? You know, we talk our talk. But I'm really not speaking from a Rattler perspective. I'm just speaking from a general, a macro perspective of looking at culture and anthropology and shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, they're going to always lead the way in you know, their legacy and history.
It's like,
you know, let's keep that thing moving. They in a position to change the dynamics of this shit. You know what I'm saying? They're in a strong position to say, you know, this is what it should be like going forward into the future, you know? And a lot of times when you're resting on what you've done, it's hard to project how to lead for the future.
Niggas is coming. I ain't typing right now. What the fuck? Nah, I say this though.
Motherfucker.
We're talking about. I noticed, and obviously, I don't care. Fuck it. I have a little smoke. I noticed a lot of their alumni that be getting shouted out. A lot of alumni didn't graduate. They just went there. You know what I mean? They made a name for themselves and they got up out of there. They hold it down. They represent, but they didn't cross that stage. Not to say that makes it invalid or not, but I'm just saying, a lot of niggas just be passing through to get the stripes. You know what I mean? They just be pledging Howard. But,
anyway. But you know, I don't hold that against them because a lot of times, you know, even in Diddy's case, right? You know, he's one of the most famous bison that didn't graduate. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure that energy, the team that he built around him, you know what I'm saying? a lot of those people came out of Howard. You know what I mean? He had, you know, Amin Ra and Chris Latt was doing parties with him, and a lot of those guys, they worked together, which made that era of Howard. They were pushing into the future with that shit. You know what I'm saying? There's probably guys there now doing the same shit. I'm just out here talking from the side. But
don't backpedal.
No,
come
I'm
on,
not backpedaling at all. Okay. I'm just telling you the way it is. It's like what I'm saying about Diddy is he didn't graduate, but Howard is a lot in his ecosystem. So it's not like he just came there and went and then didn't really take nothing with him, didn't bring nothing with him. He actually took a lot of what he had there with him, and that kept him moving and fly. So I give him. Now, I don't know who else they talk about that didn't graduate, but, you know, a lot of, you know, he took a lot with him from that campus, and it's a lot to take. Right. But, you know, again, in the mainstream conversation, that institution should be leading the way. And they gonna say that they are, but I'm just saying.
Of course, you know that's what they're gonna say.
Got a lot of momentum right now.
Yeah, I don't even know as far as momentum who got what. I just know that I do know back in the day, A&T name used to ring bells. You know what I'm saying? It's just from what I remember, because it was one of those names that came up. Because definitely just A&T. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was a few, and that was in the. That was in the mix. You know what I'm saying? There's certain ones that are forever. You know, like you said, legacy forever. Come up, Spelman, Morehouse, Howard, FAMU. You know what I'm saying? Shit, Grambling used to come up a lot more back in the day. You know what I'm saying? Not to say that it don't, but you know, I ain't really been looking at colleges in a long time, or even in that conversation to hear what colleges are popping, so I can't really truly gauge it. It's been a while, but I definitely remember, like, A&T was one of them. You know what I'm saying? Like, one of those names that I would hear. And maybe I also might be thinking about, what is the ACAA, you know, the sweatsuits and all of that. I think A&T might have had one. They might have been one of them, too.
Yep.
So that definitely helped a lot with the propaganda of a lot of those schools. So... But yeah, man, salute to people out there trying to get some higher learning. You know what I mean? Whether you're doing it after high school or later in life, you know?
Word up. Word up.
Beautiful thing.
I mean, you know, speaking of old JR, you know what I'm saying? Some of his old teammate, Uncle LeBron over there, is putting together a collective of old school basketball players to compete for this chip this year. No, the veterans.
Expendables.
You know what I'm saying? a lot of veterans they putting together. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You know, there's a lot of people saying, you know, they got 7 all-stars on the team. But these guys are like, you know, like LeBron and Carmelo, they might be like the oldest cats in the league right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, up there. You know, they might not be the, but they up there. You know what I'm saying? Dwight Howard been around for a long time. You know what I'm saying? These guys are not spring chickens, and it's going to be interesting to watch that veteran skill set, knowledge, and basketball IQ compete against the style of the new NBA, which is, you know, small ball, fast 3-point shooting. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be interesting to watch how that all plays out with the older
limited
vets.
Mobility. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Damn, you put them.
Cats with the post up. Nah, but you know that's what it is. These cats ain't flying around like Ja Morant no more.
Right.
You know,
right.
These cats got to be a little bit more calculated. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, they're gonna be a little bit. So it's gonna be interesting. It's definitely gonna be a sensibility, you know. And they got a point to prove, and there's some urgency. The urgency of time. You know what I mean?
And I think that's what a lot of this is about. You know, there's a point to prove and the urgency. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of guys not really playing for, like, you know, they're playing their roles. You know what I'm saying? They're not playing like, I need to get it. I need to get there now. Like, you know, some of the younger guys, they got to get there now. You know what I'm saying? I guess the thinking here is, you know, let's put together a collective of guys who know their role, that are skilled at their role, in their positions, and they got that old man strength.
They got a few punches, but they're gonna be powerful. But after that, they're gonna be tired. You know what I mean? So we're gonna have to figure this whole thing out. It's gonna have to be a lot of strategy. It's gonna be interesting.
I'm down to see this, man. It's a new thing that we're looking at right now.
It'll be interesting to see Russ get a ring. You know. No doubt. Certain people, like, you know, there's certain people still in that Ben, Russ, Carmelo, Chris Paul, those older cats. You know what I mean? It would be kind of cool to see them catch a ring at some point. Obviously, Russ over with the Lakers.
Right.
Carmelo, yeah.
The point is, I mean, the reality is a lot of these, you know, some of them ain't going to make it, man.
Some of them ain't going to get it. But, you know, that's shit. At least they had a shot.
Right.
They had a shot.
And it's funny, like, you know, when they talk about, like, you know, cats like LeBron or whatever, cats who be in that GOAT discussion or whatever. Right. And then it becomes gauged on a whole nother level where it's like some guys like, you know, Dame Lillard was saying, I don't want to be one of those guys who didn't get a ring. You know what I'm saying? And then.
Yeah.
But we'll tear down somebody like LeBron. That got a few of them. You know what I'm saying? Shit, that one in the bubble ain't count. You know what I'm saying? When it's guys out here trying to get one. Like, it's, you know what I mean? Like, when you're talking about a LeBron or a Kobe, it's like they easy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But then for everybody else, they know that shit ain't easy at all. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know.
To get one of them motherfuckers.
Thanks, fucking Barkley. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, and you could be a true superstar, you know, look at AI, you know what I mean? Right. Like, you could be somebody, you in the league, you was busting ass, you was doing, it's just sad sometimes when it's just reduced to that, like, you know what I mean? Well, did you get a ring? And it's like, nah, oh, shit, nobody. You know what I mean? Like, that's how it's going to be years from now. People that didn't see you on TV, they were like, you going to be at a cookout somewhere talking about, yeah, you know, I was in the NBA for 20 years. Really? Did you win a championship? Nah, we came close. Oh, shit.
You
scrub ass. You know what I mean? Like, what?
That's how
fights start.
That's how that shit be on social, right? But then, you know, in real life, you know, people respect that shit. Like, you know, it's guys who didn't get a ring. That when you see them out at the NBA All-Star, they get their props. People have their jerseys. They want they autographs, too. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So if you made a dent and you made an impression on a team, that meant it was fans watching you that really was counting on you, that appreciated the work that you did for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Even if you ain't bring them a ring, it's like, nah, that's our guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it might, couple drinks in, that lingering disappointment might come out. You know, we rooted for you, boy, but you never quite pulled it out for us. But you know, but you still a legend. You still an all-star, but whoo, shit, man, that finger looking naked. You know what I mean? It is what it is, man. It is what it is. It's a damn shame. You know, I see it all the time on shit inside the NBA with Shaq take a shot at Barkley, killing them. He'd be like, Chuck, you don't know nothing about getting a ring. And that shit just it just cuts through everything. Chuck could give you some great analysis. And Shaq would be like, but you ain't never got a ring though, Chuck. What is you talking about? And it's like, it's the Trump card. Oh shit. Anyway, man. Yeah, so we'll see. It'd be interesting to see LeBron pull that shit off though. You know, with his squad, you know.
Uncle Bron out here.
Especially now that they didn't vote him as, like, you know, they had that little vote of the top players in the world and it got split between Durant and Giannis.
Right.
And LeBron got no votes. This may have been the first time, and he's sick about that shit. So he got a little chip on his shoulder. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy to think that, what, four rings in, he still got a chip on his shoulder. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's something that shows his, you know, what his standard is. You know, like, this was the first time he ever got kicked out in the first round. You know what I'm saying? Like, motherfuckers are starting to talk reckless about him.
Yeah, yeah. The season before they won the chip, they didn't even make the playoffs. But you know, hey,
yeah, yeah.
Hey, now, you know, winning changed all them conversations. You know,
yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So we gonna see. We gonna see. Yeah, man.
Yo, how many steps you work? You walk a day? Do you ever check on your phone? Or
yeah, yeah, I have checked on my phone. I check right now. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And let you know what I got going on. Why you say that?
Been nowhere. Yeah, because you know I've been trying to get my steps in.
So, on average of August, this August, 8,775 steps. But it's skewed when I'm in Atlanta, because one, you walk less in Atlanta. In New York, my shit gonna be about, it's gonna be over 10,000 in New York.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Where's your walking coming in at? Where you walking at? And how, like, what's your...
First of all...
Do you walk intentionally? Yeah.
No, I don't walk intentionally, but I pace. You know what I'm saying? I'm a pacer.
Oh, so you get that off. So you keep your phone on you.
No, I don't. And that's why I say in Atlanta is skewed, because my phone ain't generally always on me. You know what I'm saying? And then you're driving a lot. But in New York, you're going to walk. You know what I'm saying? I'm a pace while I'm in the house, but then I get out. I'm gonna walk to the store. I'm gonna walk to the coffee shop. You know what I'm saying? If I do get a coffee or a tea or whatever, I'm gonna generally walk walk a few blocks before I get back to the house to let it cool, get to the right temperature. So by the time I'm sitting down working, it's at the right temperature. Sometimes I walk my son's dog. You know what I'm saying? But
okay, that's good. That's a hack.
Then pre-pandemic, if you got to get on the train, nigga, you're going to put in some steps. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're going to put in some steps, because you're going to walk to the station. You're going to hit three flights of steps before you get down to the bottom. Then you're going to hit them same three coming back up. You know what I'm saying? That's if you made one stop. You know what I mean? So then you're going to do that twice, going and coming. So if you got a day where you're on the train, you're going to get your steps in, but I usually get most of my steps in when I'm shooting. So okay, if I'm shooting or working, like even if I'm producing, I'm never sitting. You know what I'm saying? So it's just always a walk and a pace, or you know what I'm saying, or you know, shoot, get this shot, get that shot. I'm always moving to the subject. Like when I first started shooting, you know, Sean P. Shout out to Sean P. He said, you know what I'm saying, if you got to get one lens, get this particular lens. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's a prime. It was a 35 millimeter Zeiss prime, which means ain't no zoom. So if you want to get close on something, you got to walk to it. You know what I'm saying? You got to get to it. So that's how I learned how to shoot with a prime. And I walked everywhere to get the shot. I got down. I got in, you know, got low, got high. Walk all across that. I be all over the place when I'm shooting, because I like to get a lot of shots. And so when I shoot, I put in a lot of steps. So, but, you know, 10,000, 12,000 steps, you know what I'm saying? That's routine. Not because I'm trying to do it. That's just because I pace a lot.
Oh, okay. Yeah. See, when I pace, I don't know if I pace a lot. But this time, I don't think I have my phone on me. Like, when I'm thinking pacing, I'm thinking, like, in the house type shit.
Mm-hmm.
I typically don't have the phone on me when I'm doing that. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, too. Sometimes you do some exercise shit, you be mad because you ain't got your phone on you. Because you're like, damn, I need my score. I need my metrics.
Yeah, get a watch. But get the, like, Apple Watch.
Yeah. Nah, you know me and Apple. I'm already too far in, and I'm like, it's a love-hate relationship.
Right.
But, because, you know, that's a whole nother story. My fucking new phone, that shit overheat all the time.
Damn.
For no reason. It don't even be hot. I got a 12.
Oh,
I got a 12. That shit overheat. It's overheated about 7 times. I had it maybe a month. This shit is crazy. That shit will stop in the middle. I'm driving. I should have stopped. My GPS is done. I got to figure it out. I'm just in the, you know what I mean? Sometimes you just be in the road, not knowing where the fuck you going. When the GPS go out, you gotta duff it out. But anyway, as far as getting these at least 10,000, I gotta be intentional about it because I drive a lot. You know what I mean? Like I ain't been on the train since pre-pandemic, and you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I don't got no dog to walk. You know what I'm saying? And like, you know, I walk around a bit, but I have to say, let me go out and take a walk because I need to walk. Let me try to get these. Like, I'll be walking 4 steps. So I'll go, like, I walk around the block. I'll walk down, you know what I mean? Walk, you know, like, walk 20 blocks this way, 20 blocks back, whatever, whatever. Like, just to get the steps. Or I'll go to this track and I'll go around the track a couple times, like, intentionally just trying to fucking, you know, get them shits in. Because they not at this moment, and things are starting to get more back to quote unquote normalcy. Like now, I'm doing more and more shows and shit like that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Not that I be walking that much on the state, but like I'm back in the world a little bit more. Like there's shit to be out in the world for. So, but it's just one of them things. I try to, you know, try to just be a little bit mindful, you know, just about all of this shit, you know, as far as health goes. But that's a, that's a whole deeper conversation. But it was just one of those things. I was like, yeah, man, let me make sure. Let me do that.
So, you know, your exercise of choice is getting those steps in.
Well, pre-COVID, I used to go to the gym. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would go to the gym, but I ain't been at indoors doing no shit like. Like that type of shit since, you know, before the pandemic. So it used to be that. Yeah. And then when it wasn't the gym, it was like some, it was either the track or it's either walking around the block. You know what I'm saying? Like it wasn't like, it wasn't like if I'm playing a sport, that's very infrequent. You know what I'm saying? Like I ain't running no ball. You know what I'm saying?
You never got the bike.
Never got the bike. Because, again, I told you before, when I was going to get the bike the first time, it was all online. Mm-hmm. And I kind of wanted to go see the bike, sit on, you know what I'm saying? See what that shit looked like. I ain't really want to. And then part of it was also like it was going to come through halfway assembled anyway. Mm-hmm. So I was either going to have to assemble that shit myself or whatever. I was like, man, I'll get that shit a little later. I still think I might. I jumped on the city bike thing for a hot second. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That shit was cool. It was cool. But, you know, like, them shits, if you got to be, like, up and at them. Because you go out there, them shits will be gone. Right. You know what I'm saying? Or be way over there. Them shits go fast. And, that's probably, like, outside of walking and hitting that track a little bit, everything else is unintentional. It's like, oh shit, I was running errands. I was just running around. Damn, I got mad steps in, you know, unintentionally. You know what I'm saying? But like, yeah, it wasn't like I was out here playing a full court. You know what I'm saying? Or whatever. What about you? What else? You still riding your bike or what?
In New York. I haven't ridden the bike this summer. You know what I'm saying? But gotcha. I did try the motherfucker Peloton shit.
Oh, you got a Peloton?
It's one in the building. And
how you like it?
It's dope. You know what I'm saying? It's dope because, you know, I got on it. You know, somebody in the elevator gave me advice. He had on a Peloton shirt, so I knew he was an expert. I was like, yo, you know what I'm saying? How you like that? He was like, oh, man, I love it. I do it every day. Boom, 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 boom. Then I was like, you know, I'm about to go down and get on it. What you think? He was like, man, just take it slow, man. Don't be like one of them guys. Just go down and I think you know it. Just take it slow, which is good advice, right? You know what I'm saying? You take, right. You know, take the little beginner courses and stuff like that. But then they switched the shit up to where, you know, before you could put in your little, you know, your free account info and get the riding, right? Mm. Nah, B. Now, you know what I'm saying? That shit won't load. It don't never say it, but then it just won't load. You know what I'm saying? Then you see somebody else coming.
it just don't say shit. Just the elephant in the room. Yeah. Huh? Just like, yeah,
that's just be spinning and shit, and then it'll go back to the home screen. Be like, motherfucker. Then you done tried it three times. And you're like, oh, I get it now. I get it. You know what I'm saying?
Throw some ones.
Yeah. Right. So, you know, the Peloton shit was cool. But I just be, you know, I just be on some regular old life shit and my little push ups. You know what I'm saying? Every time I think of it, you know what I mean? Just like every time you think of it, just drop down and do some push ups. That's right, cool. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're an entrepreneur, you're working on your own and shit. You could do shit like that. But, you know, when you're out moving about, it's hard to drop and give them 20. Right, cool.
Right.
So. I'll try to do that, man. I might have to pick it up some, but I don't know where to start. And that'd be the problem. You know what I'm saying? You'd be like, damn, where do I start? You know, right. You know, you want to go in there and jump on the weights, but then you're like, I don't even know how to lift no weights. You know what I'm saying? You're like, man, shit. You'd be all self-conscious in the gym, don't want to ask nobody and shit. You'd be like, man, fuck them weights. Right. Let me jump on this bike. I know how to ride a bike.
Shit, that's a work. I'm sweating. This shit must be working.
Right. You know what I'm saying? But you might want to, you know, get a little bench press in, get your, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, try to get your chest, you know what I'm saying, shaped out. I don't want to get the old man chest, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, teardrop.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Crying chest and shit.
Oh shit!
So I drop down, do them push-ups when I can, man.
Oh shit, that's hilarious. Oh man, yeah, nigga, you gotta be vulnerable, ass nigga, just to spot you real fast. Yeah. Hey, excuse me, bruh. You gotta find somebody that looks stronger than you.
Right. Somebody that look like they know what they're doing.
Exactly. Yeah. Excuse me, brother. Would you mind? Yeah.
But that'd be the worst. That's when you're at your most vulnerable. You know what I'm saying? Big ass, strong motherfucker be in there. Hey, man. Listen, man, I don't know what I'm doing, bro. Can you help me out?
Right.
Nigga, get a trainer.
Right, exactly. Nigga, I ain't come here to train you, motherfucker. They treat you like the Peloton. Like, all right, bro, I'll watch from afar.
Oh, beginning ass like, nigga. Nigga put you on motherfucker FaceTime. Look at this nigga.
Yeah, that's the worst part about going to the gym now. Everybody want to be live from the scene. Too many witnesses now. I don't like that shit. If you not in the spot, you don't need to be in the spot. We ain't doing remotes. Everybody want to do a remote. Everybody want to look like Al Roker in the middle of the storm. Did you see that shit?
Yeah.
You see that shit? Oh, come on, Al. You bugging out. Anyway. Al out here bugging out. He just thrill seeking.
You know, I don't think it's that. You know what I'm saying? I think one, he's at that stage of his career. You know, he had some health issues and stuff. I think he's like, want to be in the mix. You know what I'm saying? And if it was going to be anything like Katrina, he would rather it be him. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure everybody sat back and watched, what's his name? Blew up on the goddamn Katrina.
I don't remember. Who blew up on Katrina?
The nigga, the Vanderbilt kid. What's his name?
I don't know.
That's related to Glory Vanderbilt's son or whatever.
Anderson Cooper?
Anderson Cooper blew up off of
he
Katrina.
He came up off of, is that yeah, what he blew
was
up
the,
off
he
of?
Was the Katrina reporter. You know what I'm saying?
Is he from New Orleans?
Nah. He just was down there doing CNN or whatever channel he on. He was the guy, and he had a lot of compassion. He, you know what I'm saying? He was good.
He did a good job.
He wasn't like some of these other motherfuckers that was flying over. He was on the ground.
Right.
He did a good job. Because I was watching that shit every day, man. I was traumatized by the Katrina. You know what I'm saying? It was like, I'm glued to this. I was like, I can't believe that they going to let Americans be in this condition. Like, what the fuck? Ain't nobody going to stop and help? Nigga, y'all shooting dead bodies floating down the goddamn street? That was sick. And then, you know what I'm saying, people from New Orleans was you know what I'm saying, being shipped to New York. And, you know what I mean, I met a few of them. And it was like, right, man, that shit was crazy. So Anderson Cooper, he came up off that shit. So I'm sure Al Roker, like, if it's going to be anything like that on the anniversary of Katrina, I want in. Right. You know what I'm saying? And I don't blame him for that. You know what I'm saying? So, but, you know, trying to be out there standing in the wave, he could have did it a little more, you know what I'm saying, elegantly. Yeah. Like, yeah, I'm
that's
Al
what
Roker.
I'm saying.
I'm out here. If you look out there, you know, you under the shade. If you look out there, you will see.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. Work on your compassion. Work on your delivery. You don't got to be in the, mix like that.
You
got to
be in the mix like that, man.
Al, you should know that. You got to post up. You don't got to go through the paint. Right. Like, that's what I'm saying. He playing like a rookie.
They probably,
you know what I mean?
Well, if you're going to be down there, you got to do the, you know what I'm saying? You got to do the in the water shot, too.
I guess you got to get a couple of them off, but, you know, like, we could stage that. You know what I'm saying? Let's go ahead and get some coverage before we go live, before we just live hit. I'm gonna do the live hit indoors, but we're gonna get some cover, some B-roll. You know what I mean? Where it's a little bit more controlled. Cause you a vet. You know what it is. You done been around a lot of weather patterns.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But maybe that's that. Maybe he know weather. Maybe he know it so well. He like, man, if I stay in here, it's gonna look way more dramatic than what it really is. Maybe he you know what I mean? He know that shit better than everybody.
Shit.
Anyway.
But yeah, it's you know what I'm saying, that I could, you know, only imagine the trauma every hurricane season that the people from New Orleans go through. You know what I'm saying? From being in it on the ground, displaced by it, you know, rejiggered, see the city totally change, you know, see their neighborhoods and communities totally change. I mean, a lot of them houses sat empty with the X's on it for years. You know what I'm saying? Like, first time I went to New Orleans was 4 years after Katrina, and they still had houses with the water line on it, with the X's, and the, you know what I'm saying, how many bodies was in there type of shit.
Damn.
You know? Like, that's some hard shit to have to live through and then look at every day. You know what I'm saying? Like, damn, it's always a reminder of, you know, what went down. You got people who, you might have a whole neighborhood with just regular houses, and then somebody who house got fucked up, they built it back with stilts and shit. Like, so it's like the only house in the neighborhood with stilts. So it's like all these reminders that this tragic event happened, right? And
yeah,
and all of the national neglect that went along with that, all of the gentrification that flooded in after that. You know what I mean? Right. A lot of people who weren't able to come back home. Houston is filled with them. Atlanta is filled with them. You know what I'm saying? So it's like a heart-wrenching thing every time they start talking about it. And they know it. That's why they hype it up like that. Like Essence Fest. Every time I go in the Superdome, I think of those people that was living in that motherfucker with no AC and no lights and shit. You know what I'm saying? It's like, damn. To be in this big-ass shit, no lights, heat, bunch of people. You don't know whether, you know what I'm saying, you try to figure out where would you post up to try to feel safe. Like, man, that shit crazy.
Yeah.
Them little rooms.
It's crazy.
It's like catacombs, yeah. But whatever. Go ahead.
Nah, well, shit, right now New Orleans don't have any power. And I think it's going to be for a little bit. I mean, it seems like, I don't think it's going to, hopefully it won't go to the same level as Katrina, but it's just, it's so funny how, not funny, but it's just, It's kind of wild how it's not really making the most news. You know what I mean? Or it's not, you know what I mean? Like, well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like it could be a bigger story. But we'll see. We'll see. We'll see what's what. I mean, Al out there.
Y'all gonna put it down.
Al gonna make it happen.
Bird
up. What else is going on, man? Let's get into this Raising Canaan, bro.
yeah, man.
Was that guy?
No. I was writing down something you said. I was writing a note, but Raising Canaan, man. I've been seeing some people, you know what I'm saying, say it don't have a whole lot of action, that it's meandering. Whatever, fuck all that. You know what I'm saying? we had a right to meander. You know what I'm saying? Especially when you digging into an era. You know what I'm saying? That was, you know, an era I came from, an era I know, an era that would be forgotten if it wasn't for, like, hip-hop. You know what I'm saying? If hip-hop wouldn't have made such a statement and you know, and you could look back at certain songs and certain artists, that era may have faded away, you know, just as far as look, style, and texture. And I could watch that show on fucking silent and still be good. You know what I'm saying? Because mm-hmm. when you see Marvin pull up in a new Benz after he wrecked the old Benz, you know what I'm saying? And it's just as fresh. It's got new color on that bitch. You know what I'm saying? He jump out being Marvin. You know what I'm saying? I appreciate that shit. You know what I mean? And so, but to get to the episode this week, I think, you know, the highlight on Marvin's dissatisfaction and his place in the organization is going to turn out to be an interesting story coming up. And it's one of them stories that happen in real life that, you've seen time, especially when crack democratized the game, where it didn't take a whole lot to get going. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you saw a lot of people break off and start their own little crews and, you know what I'm saying, came up with one crew, and then next thing you know, this nigga is his own man doing his own thing. And it always be a young nigga with a whole bunch of ideas and shit. You know what I'm saying? Like Franklin on Snowfall, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Shit. Uncle Jerome wouldn't have gotten in that game if it wasn't for his young nephew with all the ideas. Similar to, you know, Kanan and Melvin, you know? But, yeah, man, this show was wild to me. It was a little wild, you know? Shit, what you thought about it?
Yeah, I fucked with it. I thought it was good, man. I thought you was going to keep going.
No, I didn't want to monopolize the conversation.
No. I thought it was good. I thought, I'm trying to think what I remember about it. I mean, it was a lot that went on. And to your point about, you know, people saying that it's meandering, I think this shit is popping. Like, I think so far they at least in the 90 percentile, like 90%. Mm-hmm. I don't know, go all the way 100%, but like every episode I've appreciated. Mm-hmm. I enjoy these shits. I look forward to these shits. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it's funny because I'll wait it out a little bit. Like, I won't watch it immediately. Shout out to my man Chris Lambert. That motherfucker turned that shit on. He said he turned it on like 12:01
mm-hmm.
on Sunday. You know what I mean? Like, I kind of, if I watch that shit too early in the day, then it's like, damn. You know what I mean? I ain't really got too much to look forward to TV-wise. So I kind of do a lot of shit, run around, get out, you know, get in the world or whatever, so then I could come back to the crib and watch it at night, kind of. Like, I like to watch that shit, you know, when it's dark.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a lot going on, man. I enjoyed, you know, see the little thing. There were certain parts that I thought were very interesting, like, I'm curious to see what's gonna happen with Rocky, Gabriel, and Juliana. You know what I mean? Like, they've been kind of breadcrumbing that little storyline for a minute.
Rocky, Gabriel, and Juliana. Who's Gabriel? And
Gabriel, I think his name. Gabriel is the cat that's at the bodega that they got. They got the
little stash
house spot. And you know, he already kind of don't like to be told what to do.
Right.
You know what
I'm
saying? He got a lot of machismo with him, and then
he beat his wife.
Yeah, he beating his wife. You know what I'm saying? And you know, when Rocky says some shit to, like, she was like, nah, you kind of need to speak for yourself. Kind of like, she sees Rocky as a woman that's out there running the show and, like, kind of giving her an opportunity to put herself in position.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Kind of turn the tables a little bit.
What was that line Rock said? She was like, if we waited for men to tell us when to use our mouths, we would just be sucking dick in something. I was like,
you know what I mean? Yeah, basically. You know what I mean? That shit was slick. And if you watch it, because I rewound that shit a couple times, you see Julia, she was like, oh, like, she halfway laughed a little bit.
She was like, you right.
Through the speed knot. Yeah. And she was like, yeah. You know what I mean? So it was that. And it was like, nah, I want you to make the play. You know what I'm right. saying? Like, don't worry about him. I want you to make the play. And quietly, we probably going to handle him. You know what I'm saying? Because he been online for some straightening. You know what I'm saying? Like, his attitude was a little funky. You know what I mean? So then it was that. Then it was the moment with the inspector in the projects. She had to get him handled. You know what I'm saying? But, like, just that whole interaction, how he tried to, you know, take advantage of her. And it looked nervous for a hot second. You know what I'm saying? She lost her gun, but then, you know, she recovered quick with the mallet. Hit him upside the head. Say, yeah, I want you to make a meal out of this motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Like, I rocking good. Rocking good TV. No. Marvin good TV. That whole moment where he's conversing with him. You know what I'm saying? I don't know about putting him in the wall. I get it. I guess tucking him away, but that shit's going to be a brutal stench.
That's terrible. That's terrible. That was the part I was like, come on now.
That's TV.
Like, they ain't even put no lime in there, nothing. Just, put him behind the drywall. Like, that's going to stop the stench.
Yeah, that shit's going to be crazy.
She knocked his ass upside the head, boy. But like you say, Marvin is good TV. Marvin is good. He looked like the era. His energy is his whole energy. He like one of them. It's like when you was coming up in that era. You know, the hip hop came, right? But before that, it was like the disco era. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And hard bottoms and shit like that. Marvin looked like somebody from the disco era that was like, oh shit, the new shit out. And he switched right away. He was like, I'm on this. You know what I'm saying?
Early adopter.
Right. And so it was always cats that had like a disco 70s vibe and flair by themselves, but they was able to switch. They was a little older than us, but they had all the sweatsuits and gold and all that shit. But you could tell they was from the, you know what I'm saying, you a jive-ass nigga era. You know what I'm saying?
Tell by his Benz. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's funny. Yeah.
Old jive-ass. Afros and shit. All he did was cut his afro to a hot top. You know what I'm saying? He didn't even waste no stuff.
He already had the hair. He didn't have to grow that shit.
Know who else was like that in real life? Eric B. He never had to cut his afro. He just braided the shit. This nigga had braids where that shit wasn't even, nobody wanna think about braids. It's maybe in California. But they're like, this nigga got braids from the 70s. Like, you just had them shits when you was a kid.
The Dookie braids. You know, super thick cornrows.
But he adopted and then he brought it into the new era. You know what I'm saying?
Right. That's funny. Oh, man.
That damn Joey Badass is having a way with his acting career.
Yeah, he's doing his thing. I'm going to be honest with you. The one thing that threw me off, a small thing, but I guess, you know, nobody on set was, I guess there was no real, but he was like, he said chutzpah instead of hootzpah.
Chutzpah. Yeah, he said chutzpah. You know, he's a nigga that
that's
fucks.
Like, that's the end of the shit. Come on, man. It's like Smokey Robinson. Did you ever see that cameo where Smokey Robinson is saying, I just want to wish you a happy Chanukah. Chanukah. Did you ever see that shit?
Nah, I ain't never seen it.
You got to see that shit. That shit is hilarious. But I was like, damn, that, you know what I mean? Other than that, he's doing his thing. He's doing his thing. I mean, everybody's this storyline, you know, like the Lulu coming through, you know what I'm saying, to Neek's atelier, you know what I'm saying, his Dapper Dan situation. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Nigga said, either you lost or you stupid or both. He said, what you want? He said, nigga, I don't talk to the doorman. I don't talk to the door nigga. He had to take that. He was like, all right, go ahead, nigga. Let me pat you down aggressively, motherfucker. Let me go ahead and run this back. Let them know you here.
Yeah.
That shit was funny. Yeah. Scrappy done got.
Yeah. Is he dead or is he just fucked up real bad?
See, that's what I'm hearing. Now some people, I thought he was dead, but then I'm seeing people talking about, nah, he ain't dead. So We'll see. I know he only got one eye now, so
you know. That one was just swole up. It wasn't missing.
Now, that shit looked like it was, like they took that shit out. But it didn't look like a jammy. It looked like that shit was gone.
Oh.
But we'll see. We'll see. Yeah, it looked like that shit was gone.
Yeah. All bets is off now. Shit, it's all out war now. Everybody know everybody is foul and up to no good.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? Dean, no Rocky ain't, you know what I'm saying, was foul. You know what I'm saying? Neek is foul.
Right. Yep.
Lou know Neek is foul.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, everybody on the up and up at this point. Everybody on the up and up. I got a few predictions. But I got a couple things too. My other, along with Hootspa. When my man, that was that one. But then when my man Dean, you know, he turned her sound system off.
Yeah.
We don't like that. But then also, this time she caught the bingo though.
Right.
So it's her shit on or off.
Yeah, that's what it's like, can she hear out the other ear? Like, nigga.
Right. What's going on? Is that just for show? Is that because then that show you can't trust nobody?
Nah,
and maybe that was part of the whole thing anyway. That was just performative.
She can't hear nothing. She might be running the show.
She taking the minutes. That's when he let her know this is important. I need you to really pay attention. I'm gonna do the okie though. Flip. That means you turn up. I need you to really listen intently.
But just as much as Kanan got a lot of this shit going. Rocky done got a lot of niggas fucked up. She got Scrap fucked up. She got my man Dean Boy fucked up. She getting, you know what I'm saying? She's just a lot of niggas getting capped on her behalf.
Yeah. There's a lot of impulsiveness amongst all of them. Like, you know, for a hot second, I was like, Kanan always like going 100 miles an hour in the wrong direction. You know what I'm saying? He don't even know the full play, but he be so ready to, he offsides every play damn near. You know what I'm saying? And then it was like a couple episodes where Neek was bugging. And typically Rocky kind of come across like level-headed for the most part. But even she bugged out a little bit. And then that whole symphony thing, that kind of fucked her world up a little bit too. You know what I'm saying? But like,
she wasn't wrong. She wasn't wrong with that.
No. She did what she had to do. But like, it just, I think it jarred her a little bit. And I think just, you know, like trying to get her business shit in order. You know what I mean? Like, it feels like a little bit, just a touch more desperate than it could be. You know what I'm saying? Like, well, maybe that's just urgency. You know what I'm saying? And then old Famous, you know, co-opting the story from the street. I saw that. I think I even said it on the thing. I was like, I think Famous going spit the cane and shit. You know what I'm saying? Because they told him, yo, we need that real shit. You know, streets need a body. Streets need a verse. Famous needs to get out there. He's like, fuck that. All right, I know what it is. He said, what'd he say? Fuck four quarters and two dimes. Oh, shit. Shout out to Sean C. Sean C, Grime Music Executioners. He produced that song, Streets Need a Body.
Who wrote it?
I don't know if he wrote it. I'm not sure. I was curious. I don't know. I got to find out who wrote it, but I know he produced it. He was also the DJ on stage, too.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? But yeah. He's been doing a lot of, not a lot, but he's been doing TV shit, because I know he did a lot of TV shit on The Breaks, if I'm not mistaken. Remember The Breaks on VH1?
Yeah,
that shit was cool.
Yeah.
But
Kanan and Marvin going into business together, right? Kanan got the plan to do the gas station as a drive-through scenario, targeting the white consumers, which he learned pays more from his first, you know, entree.
That from Jukebox,
right?
Yeah.
Now Jukebox Girl is hitting the coke crack.
Yeah, she about to become Melly.
Nigga, she gonna be introduce them to the white people, man. She rich, white.
All right, and a crackhead.
And I gonna be on that Chrisack.
Yeah, but hopefully, I hope she don't turn into a crackhead. Because right now, she don't know she a crackhead. She knows she enjoyed it. But what do they call it? She's not she's an accidental tourist.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? She ain't know she was smoking crack. But
she on the YOLO plan.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
Yeah, exactly.
This nigga sprinkled the crack rocks on his shit. He ain't even break them down. He just straight boulders.
Yeah, that nigga said. What'd he say? He said, we about to get on some, I forget what he said, some crazy shit. But yeah, I think he gonna get killed at some point. He wildin'.
Yeah, he wildin'. He definitely wildin'.
He wildin', but he's an interesting character, just how he bring a lot of friction to the whole shit. But I think he might get killed. I think Famous's sister might get killed. We'll see.
Famous sister play a lot. You know what I'm saying? It's her, it's Symphony. You know what I'm saying? They, you know what I'm saying, something ain't right. You know what I mean? With their program. You
still think Symphony might be police?
I don't know what he is. He the ops, whatever kind of way. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if he the police. I don't know if he whatever. But, you know, maybe that was something they just used to throw us off in the beginning. But you know, TV don't be making steps to make them a lot of times. So
yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So I don't know. I'm still watching him with one eye open, but he got Kanan in the scope now on his side. You know what I'm saying? Even if he ain't got Rocky no more, he still got Kanan.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So.
Right. Oh, you think he still got Kanan?
Yeah, because Kanan trusts him.
Kanan still
now.
In the class?
Yeah, Kanan still in the class. He liked the class. He was telling his mama he liked the class.
Oh, I thought he graduated from that.
And then he was saying that he be breaking down the real shit. You know what I mean? He be teaching us. Yeah. So he trusts that nigga.
And they set up the fact, you know, he ain't really never had no father figure and shit like that. That's right. The other thing I'm curious about. What you think's gonna happen with Omar Epps? What's Pop's name?
Man.
What's his name?
Listen, man, they gonna play that nigga gonna get played out. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what's gonna happen with him. I don't know if he gonna. I don't think Kanan gonna give him no goddamn bone marrow.
I can't see. That's a long shot. That's a long shot. I don't even understand how that even make
the
any
police,
sense.
Police, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's on your tail.
You know. Shit. Yeah, it's not like. He could cut him open and just take that shit.
Right.
I'm just trying to figure, you know, like how they always say, you know, that was that old that urban legend. You wind up in a fucking bathtub full of ice, motherfuckers, and took your kidney.
Right. Or maybe that'd be Kanan's, you know, saving grace, you know what I'm saying? That his pops is the police dying with the cancer.
What you mean? What's the saving grace?
I'm just saying, maybe that will be his saving grace. I don't know how it plays out. I wasn't in the writer's room, but I'm just saying.
Explain what you mean.
That maybe when it comes down to it, between him and going to jail and his pops is, you know what I'm saying, the police over there, the man at the police station, could fall in his favor. You know what I'm saying? Either way, whether he give him the bone marrow or not.
There might be some compassion there.
That him now finding out that this guy is his son.
Right.
It's a conflict
right,
of interest
yeah.
now. You know what I'm saying?
Right. You see that. I see that already playing out. I'm just curious what they're going to do with him. Is they going to let him die? Or is he going to catch some bone marrow from somebody? Like, how's it going to work out for him? Because I don't see Kanan, unless it's some, you know, like... some dubious way that he gets it. I can't see them sitting down having a conversation where it's all going to be like, I bet he going to go under the knife. You know what I'm saying? We're going to save you, cop. Unless Rocky leveraged some crazy shit. Neek wound up in jail or something wild like that. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? Anyway, I think it's time to transform and roll out, you know?
Bird up.
Any last words you want to say to the people?
Ah, that's it, man. Shit, enjoying being here, you know. Shout out to Cameron. You know what I'm saying? We met up in the A.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, on Friday. Yeah. We chopped it up.
All right, that's what's up. Well, shit, until next week, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation. We out.
Conversation.